So this concept of shunt versus dead space, which I recognize is really fucking annoying for you as a student to try to understand and differentiate. Well, I can tell you it's equally annoying for me to try to explain in a concise way that's effective for you. So just bear with me here, do the best I can. So look, shunt is when we have a pulmonary shunt, it's when we have decreased V on Q, okay, decreased ventilation relative to perfusion. It's always pathologic in a pulmonary sense. Whereas dead space is when we have a high V on Q, okay? So Q is our perfusion. So it means our perfusion is low relative to our ventilation. And it can be physiologic, which is normal, or pathologic. Now, the overwhelming majority of lung pathologies are shunt, okay? So if you're taking a shot in the dark, no fucking idea. Answer, shunt. This case, asthma. All right, it's a shunt. COPD, pulmonary fibrosis, it's a shunt. Okay, so the perfusion to the alveoli is not compromised, but the ventilation of the alveoli is lower than what it should be. In asthma, you got some secretions, you have bronchospasm. So the amount of ventilation of those alveoli lower than what it should be, okay, compared to the perfusion. So we call that a shunt. Now, dead space pathologically would be pulmonary embolism. So our blood flow is lower than what it should be. All right. Now, for shunt, to help you understand what this means, it's the process of deoxygenated blood mixing in with oxygenated blood. Now, when we think of a shunt in pulmonary terms, it's right to left. And you're like, well, what does right to left mean? Now, when you hear of cardiac shunt, like let's say with an Eisenmenger syndrome where you have a VSD, that's reversed and now it's right to left. What does that mean? You have right-sided blood from the right ventricle that's deoxygenated, mixing in with the left-sided blood, the left ventricle, which is oxygenated. And that right-to-left process is a shunt. And that's what we apply to the pulmonary circulation. If we have, let's say, an area of lung that's blocked off, and deoxygenated, let's say you swallow a peanut, I should say aspirate a peanut, and you block off an area of lung, then if that area of lung is receiving zero ventilation, that's a deoxygenated segment. We refer to that as the right-sided area. Okay, it's deoxygenated, and that's mixing in with our left-sided areas, which are all of our oxygenated areas. So this right mixing in with the left is a shunt, and the result is our arterial circulation, systemic circulation, will have lower oxygen than it should. So a shunt is classically associated with giving a patient oxygen where it makes no difference. So, for example, if you block off an area of lung and that's a zero, there's zero ventilation there, it doesn't matter whether you're on a face mask with 100% oxygen. Because even if the other areas of lung are well ventilated, receiving 100% oxygen, you still have a zero averaged in. So the net result of the blood leaving the arterial circulation is it carries a lower oxygen tension than it should. Okay, so that is a right to left shunt. Okay, that's a shunt. Is when we have decreased ventilation that results in your arterial circulation having lower oxygen than it should be. Okay? That's probably the most concise way I can explain it. We can obviously chat about these concepts for like 45 minutes, an hour, but I'm just going to try to move forward. Now, dead space, I said pathologically, that refers to pulmonary embolism. So if you're blocking off circulation going to your alveoli, then it doesn't matter whether you're ventilated because you're still going to have decreased gas exchange, right? If you're not receiving adequate blood flow to those alveoli. So that in turn can give you low systemic arterial oxygen and pulmonary embolism. So that's pathologic dead space. Now, physiologic dead space can be alveolar, anatomic, or physiologic. Physiologic dead space is equal to the sum of alveolar and anatomic dead space. Now, anatomic dead space refers to areas of the respiratory tree that do not partake in gas exchange. So, for example, your trachea, that's not partaking in gas exchange, is it? It's not perfused in terms of being able to partake in gas exchange, but it's still ventilated. Okay, it's maximally ventilated, but it's not being perfused for gas exchange. Same as your terminal bronchioles. They're not partaking in gas exchange, but they're well ventilated. That's anatomic dead space. And then from your respiratory bronchioles distally down into the alveolar spaces, we have increasing amounts of perfusion. So dead space, anatomic dead space will decrease as we move further down into the respiratory tree, into the alveoli. Now, alveolar dead space, this is physiologic. This refers to natural changes in ventilation relative to perfusion as we move from apices to bases. Now, I should state it's very important that both ventilation and perfusion as independent entities increase from apex to base. However, due to the effects of gravity, okay, blood is going to be affected more than the air that we're breathing. Ventilation will increase apex to base not as much as perfusion will. So as we move from apex to base and perfusion is increasing more than ventilation, our denominator, V on Q, so our denominator Q is increasing more than ventilation is, so our ratio is going to be lower at the bases than at the apices. So at the bases, we'll have a V on Q of 0.6, okay, where we have lower V on Q, and at the apices, we have a high V on Q, around 3.0, okay? And this is just natural variation of the lung while the patient is upright. This is referred to as alveolar dead space. So, I would say that's putting it in short. Just knowing that ventilation and perfusion both increase apex to base, but perfusion increases more from apex to base, and therefore the ratio of V on Q, it's higher at the apices than at the base, and therefore we have natural dead space toward the apices compared to the bases, okay? So once again, alveolar plus anatomic dead space, that equals our physiologic dead space. Pathologic dead space refers to pulmonary embolism. We said pulmonary shunt refers to other lung conditions such as asthma, COPD, fibrosis. Radial traction, that's a good distractor, but also a high-yield answer for restrictive lung disease, where that's actually a long discussion in and of itself. But the bottom line is, when you hear of the FEV1 over FVC ratio being normal or elevated in restrictive lung disease, but it's decreased in obstructive lung disease, and you ask people, well, why is that the case? In restrictive lung disease, let's say we have fibrosis. That fibrosis will stick to the outside of the airways, keeping them open, right? So that's called radial traction. It's stickiness of that fibrosis on the airways from the outside, keeping them open. So when you exhale in that first second, your airways are open more than compared to, let's say, an obstructive lung disease where you don't have that stickiness from the outside. And your numerator, your FEV1 over FVC, your numerator is greater compared to an obstructive lung disease. So if someone were to say to you, well, why is FEV1 over FVC normal or increased in restrictive, but it's decreased in obstructive? Most students say, oh, well, although FEV1 and FVC as independent entities decrease in both obstructive and restrictive lung conditions, FEV1 doesn't decrease as much in restrictive. And it's like, yes, that's true in a qualitative sense, but the actual explanation is it's because of radial traction. Radial traction, that stickiness on the airways, is the reason why your FEV1 does not decrease as much as compared to obstructive lung disease. Once again, as I mentioned, that is a very long discussion in and of itself. These are all difficult concepts to explain. Shunt versus dead space. So hopefully that provides a little bit of value. Hopefully that provides a little bit of clarification. That's it.